do here.
Story day to remind the Chof Tess. Teves Tovshin Ein Tess. Reb David Eisenberg.
No problem. See, a person has to say Bishvili Nivar Olam. That's exactly what you did. Okay. Right. Working? Just about. Right, we got it. Temperamental, and it also falls over. But we'll manage. We'll pick me up one way or another. Sorry. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Beautiful. Okay, I'm sorry for the way I sound this morning. I've been a bit under the weather. Menachem David asked me to speak on Friday, and over Shabbos I picked up this cold and everything else. But, Baruch Hashem, I woke up this morning, I still feel I'm able to give this year, so I'd like to give this year. And I apologize if I'll be coughing or spluttering or sounding a little bit funny in the interim. Right. Come holiday time, I find in general things go a little bit funny. All sorts of things, especially if you have little kids at home. If you have little kids at home, I find my schedule goes to parts and the kids' schedule, and you have to try to get them somewhere, and you have to try to take care of things, and you're getting cold, and you're getting chased, etc., etc. So one of the things that happened to us 2 weeks ago, we went away for a couple of days to London, and then we were coming back on Thursday afternoon, which turned into Thursday evening because the M6 is not exactly the best thing to be driving on nowadays. It takes about 5 hours to get from London to Manchester. So we made our way back. You have all these things sitting in the back of your car. That's the thing, Yossi, it's a bit too much. You just turned down slightly, sorry. Too much reverb on that. Apologies. So the thing sitting in the back of the car, and you have to go and you have to start cleaning up. Especially when you go with children on a trip. So you give them wafers and biscuits and zach, and the car becomes one big tip. That's why I always say before Pesach, you mamish have to clean out your car. Your car's chomestik finale zaten. Do you know how many kizaisin you find in your car? You move your chair this way, you move your chair that way. You look around the different parts and the nooks and the crannies in the car. There's chomets everywhere, especially those little things like little fish, little bislies. They go even in the little, they go in the, where the seats move back and forth. Everything, everywhere. There's mamish chomets everywhere. So we decided on Friday we're going to clean out the car a little bit. So in cleaning out the car, we found a whole bunch of things that were inside the car. And we were eating out on Friday night because my mother-in-law said, come to us, you were away the whole week. It's easier that you come to me. You'll be there. You won't have to worry about cooking for Friday night. So Seder. So everything comes out of the car. You have to get there in time for Shabbos. It's early Shabbos, 3:30. Lemaisa, I came back on Friday night, and I realized that in taking things out of the car, we had left some muktzah stuff on our Shabbos table, because we didn't have to set the table Friday night, because we were going to eat somewhere else. I'd left muktzah stuff on the table, on our Shabbos table, and the question was now, what should we do? So I'd like to go through it slowly, because I'll tell you exactly what it was. We'll go through the issues that could come up, the different types of muktzah, what it is, and to work our way through it slowly. So, as I said, the first item that we had to worry about was a tzedakah box. The tzedakah box belonged to our shul. It's been donated by one of my members in memory of his late wife. And it was a simple wooden tzedakah box. So if it's a metal tzedakah box, you know, we'll see how we can get it off. But it's also quite fragile. So I'd like to discuss, go through it. What you can do, what you cannot do, how you could do, how you couldn't do it. And then we'll get to some kind of conclusion, hopefully. Okay? So we'll start first with the different types of muktzah. The Mishnah Berurah in his introduction to Siman Shin Ches is where we start the halachas of muktzah, and then muktzah takes up. It's amazing that some of these dinim derabbanon take up more space in Shulchan Aruch than some of the dinim deraisa. Toichen, losh, you'll find 2-3 sifrim for each one of them, not much. Muktzah, you'll find four simonim, shin ches, shin tes, shin yud, shin yud aleph. It's mamash a whole thing. So right in the beginning, the Mishnah Berurah gives you an introduction. He tells you that there are different types of muktzahs, and those different types of muktzah have different halachas associated with it. So let's get to the one I think that is the most common. The most common one is known as a kli shemalach del iser. The kli shemalach del iser is a kli which is used. So first of all, it has to be a kli. That means it has to be a vessel, it has to be something that has a function. Not just a stone, a piece of paper, a piece of wood, but rather it's a kli. The next thing about this kli shemalachta is that's malachta l'iser, meaning the main thing I do with this keli is iser. So for example, a hammer. A hammer is a good example of a kli shemalachta l'iser. A hammer is used in general for building. That's what you use a hammer for. It can be used for other things as well, but in general a hammer is used for building. So on Shabbos, a hammer is muktzah, midin kli shemalach del iser. However, even though this hammer is muktzah midin kli shemalach del iser, there are certain heterim. A kli shemalach del iser is the least chomer form of muktzah. And therefore there are two halachas that will apply over here. Number one, you're allowed to move it letzorech gufay. Number two, you're allowed to move it letzorech mekoymai. So let's describe each one of them. Letzorech gufay means, let's say I need to use the hammer for a mutter thing. So for example, I want to now crack open nuts. Then the halacha is, if I don't have a nutcracker, or even if I have a nutcracker, but I don't have it handy, I'm not sure where it is, then I can use the hammer. If I have a nutcracker sitting right next to a hammer and I decide I want to pick up the hammer and use the muktzah item instead of using the non-muktzah item, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to use the item that's not muktzah. However, where I don't know, I don't own a nutcracker, or I don't know where my nutcracker is, or it will take me time to find it, then the halacha says that's the tzorech gufay. I'm allowed to go ahead and I'm allowed to use that hammer in order to crack open a nut. And there are many, many examples of this that you can come up with, whether you want to talk about the watch, the clock on a phone, as long as your phone doesn't do anything whilst you move it. Some phones, as you move them, they start changing around the screen. But if the screen will stay the same, you just want to see what time it is, and you don't have a watch, so then you should be allowed to pick up the phone, have a look at the time, and put it back down. Again, assuming, A, you don't have another watch anywhere else. If you have another watch somewhere else, you can't use the phone. B, the phone won't do anything and won't change in any way whatsoever by picking it up. As I said, a lot of the phones, the screen changes. When you pick it up, the screen changes to make it easier for you to see it, to show you the front screen, whatever it is. That will be also then. Then for sure you have an issue. But if it doesn't change whatsoever and you have no watch whatsoever to use other than that, and you can't see it by just having it lie down, then you can tilt it to look at it. Okay? That will be an example of letzorech gufay. The other heter is letzorech mekoymai, which means, let's say I need the place that it's in. So in this instance, for example, I had the hammer on my Shabbos table. And I don't want the hammer on my Shabbos table because it's not very Shabbostic to have a hammer amongst my Shabbostic kedim. I got my becher, I got my nice dishes, we have the cholent or the chicken, whatever else it is, and a hammer sitting in the middle of the table. Doesn't look nice, it's Shabbostic. So the halacha is, if it's not Shabbostic and it's disturbing you, and you don't want it there, you're allowed to move it, which is a chibsh, because the normal way of understanding the tzorech mekoyme means I need this space. Meaning, if I don't have space to put down my chicken on my table because my hammer is in the way, then for sure I'd be allowed to move the hammer. Because the hammer is in the way, I need that mokum, so I need to be able to put down my chicken, so I can move the hammer to be able to put down my chicken. But what if I don't need the space? There's really enough space on my table to put out all the food, but it's disturbing me. I don't want it here. Even that is a tzorech mekoymai. That's why a lot of poskim say that if you have an alarm clock you forgot to turn off on Shabbos, and it's disturbing you, you're trying to sleep, you forgot to turn it off, it woke you up at 7 o'clock, that's the time you have to get up during the weekday, not the time you have to get up on Shabbos. and at 7 o'clock it's ringing away and it's disturbing you, you can pick it up and you can put it somewhere else. Because you don't want the alarm clock in this room. In this room, the alarm clock is disturbing me. So I'm allowed to move it because I need the mokum that I'm in right now and the alarm clock is disturbing. In this case, you don't have to do kelachayad either because it's a klish malach leiser and you're allowed to move in the tzarech guf and tzarech mekoyim. But there's no din kelachayad. So you can move it straight out. There's no halacha that you have to be careful with it because of the klishim lach leiser. The other muktzas might be different, but here in this case you can move it straight out. The other thing is that once you're holding it, the halacha is really that once you're holding it, you can keep on holding it and put it wherever you want to. You don't have to drop it as soon as. So if it's in your room and you want it outside of your room, you don't have to drop it right outside the hallway. You can take it, once you're holding it, you take it wherever it will be more convenient and you put it down over there. So that's halacha by klishim lach leiser. The next muktzah is called muktzah machmas gufoy. Muktzah machmas gufoy is a category of muktzah that includes rocks, pebbles, sticks, all sorts that are not kalim, so they're just pieces of raw material, that have not been set aside for any specific purpose. So if I have a rock, for example, that I've set aside to be my doorstopper, then that rock becomes a doorstopper. It is not a rock anymore. It's there to keep my door open. I can't do that on Shabbos. I can't designate a rock on Shabbos. But if before Shabbos I decided this rock is going to have my doorstopper, so it's not rock anymore, it's a doorstopper. Even though it looks like a rock, but it can function as a doorstopper. Whereas, stam, if you had a rock, you're walking down the street and you see a rock. You can't just pick up a rock. Rocks muktzah machmas gufoy. You can't, if you have a piece of wood, can't touch the piece of wood. I mean, touching, okay, it's a shayla, but you probably could touch the piece. Touching muktzah is not also, it's moving muktzah, right? So I'll be careful with the way I say it. So you can't move this piece of wood. All these things, that's muktzah machmas gufoy. What about letzorech gufoy, letzorech mekoymoy? The halacha is muktzah machmas gufoy cannot be moved letzorech gufoy, letzorech mekoymoy. You cannot move it even if you need to use the actual item. So if I want to use this rock now to hold open my door, I'm not allowed to do that. If the rock is on my Shabbos table and I don't want it on my Shabbos table, I can't take it off. It's stuck there. By the way, I left out one other halacha that I forgot before by klishim malach leiser. There is one thing that you're not allowed to do with klishim malach leiser, but there's a way around it, is that you're not allowed to move it to safeguard the item. So if you want to safeguard the item, I have a very expensive phone, and it's sitting somewhere where I'm worried it's going to get stolen. I have an expensive computer. It's sitting somewhere where it's going to get stolen. A phone or computer will be defined as a klishim malach leiser, because the main malach of my phone, the main malach of my computer, is things that are iser. And it is sitting right next to my door. So I don't want it in there. So what's the halacha? Can I pick it up and move it in order to make sure that it doesn't get stolen? The answer is no. You're not allowed to do that. However, there is one way around it. That is, if you can come up with a tzorich for the mokrim that the computer is or where the phone is at now, if you can find a usage for that place and it becomes in your way to be able to use it, then, so somebody told me, somebody said to me, they had they left their laptop in the front porch on Arab Shabbos by mistake. And they're worried, they didn't want to leave their laptop in the front porch on Arab Shabbos. Somebody walks past, I'm sorry? So okay, we'll get to Kelachiyah, but at this point I'm saying, so Kelachiyah, that was what he ended up doing, because he didn't have a need for that area. Pardon? Things that are things. It depends because lav dafka is post muktzah. If you know, so it's interesting. I'll tell you, my wife. Okay, so my wife this week she received she was organizing something for Rebbetzin Weiss, for Rabbi and Rebbetzin Weiss for Shabbos. She was organizing for them a platter for them for the simcha. So she organized it, and she was told by the other people that what she was organizing it with, they couldn't come to drop off the money. They would send it in the post. They would send a check in the post. So we got a letter, an envelope on Shabbos that's written out to Mrs. M. Eisenberg in our address, and on top it says Muktzah. Yeah, she wrote on the envelope Muktzah because she knew she sent it out on Friday, and she sent it first class. It's going to come on Shabbos. Or just in case it comes on Shabbos, it said on it Muktzah. No, don't move this. Yeah. There's not every envelope, and an envelope coming through the door is lav nafka muktzah, unless you know, again, as you said, if it's a bill, you know, it might be, that's things you're not supposed to bring on Shabbos, that might be muktzah. If it's going to be a camera, you know you've ordered a camera and it came on that day, so fine, that's muktzah. Then you have to move a kilachayat. So you can move a kilachayat in the end. But if you need the mokim where it is, then the halacha is you'd actually be allowed to pick it up, take it somewhere else, because I need this place. So it's tzarech mekoyim, I'm allowed to move muktzah. Okay?
You said that computer, you couldn't find anything there.
A bottle where?
A bottle where their computer was.
You need Taka to put a bottle in your... I don't know. You can... I don't know if you can come up mamash with a tzarech that's a non-tzarech. I don't know. Like, well, why you just want a bottle here because you want a bottle here? So I'm not sure you can do that. I'm not sure you can just come up with a tzarech that's mamash and non-tzarech. Maybe you can say, I want to... You know, I don't have room in my fridge for my bottles. I want them to cool down a little bit. I'll put them in my front porch. Fine, but once you have an excuse that's valid, you know, don't say, I feel I need a bottle here now. Right? It's a mishigas, yeah? But if I want to, if I have a good reason to put the bottle there, even if I could put it in my fridge, but at least I say, not stam, I want a bottle. Why? I need a bottle here now.
I can put it there to be cold. I've got my fridge.
But that's enough of a reason. I'm saying I don't want it in the fridge right now because I got too much other food in the fridge. If you're good, you know, if you're good Yiddish household, come Shabbos, you don't have room for your bottles in your fridge anyway. Your wife's packed it on, and there's no room. So you can say I'm happy to put it there. It takes a little bit of the load off my fridge.
Is the computer not
mismatched?
Let's move. It could be, but probably not. We're going to get to Chasson Kiss now. I think. I would have still thought it's a Glish Machdis, but let's discuss. Okay? I'm sorry? Yeah, so Kedish Machdis of a Heter, then we'll be Mukta. It depends, you know, if you use it for Heter.
No, the camera, where the Kedish Machdis, but it has a Heter thing.
Okay.
Some products have got multiple uses.
Okay, so then it depends. It's interesting to discuss that. So then the question is, what's the main purpose of this keli? A hammer, the main purpose of the keli is for...
His
Isser. But you can come up with kelim where the main purpose is heter, and they'll have a side of Isser. Then that will be a kelim shach heter. But you can't move it, it's a Isser still. If you want a hammer now, you shouldn't hammer. Right? One thing, so that even by kelim shach le Isser, you can't move it. However, one thing we'll say, there's one extra halacha on muktzmach maskufi, which is very important to say. If it's dangerous, you can move it. So for example, we're going to get to this soon. You've dropped a glass on the floor, and the glass smashed. And now there's shards all over the floor. So shards, you'd say, that's not a keli. It came from a keli, but it's not a keli. It's useless. It's going straight in the bin. It should really now be muktzah machmas gufa. You should not be allowed to move it. The halacha is, because it's dangerous, I'm allowed to move it. I should just leave it there, people are going to step on it. And there are heterim sometimes, even in a camel is to move it. Even if it's a question of carrying to rabbonim, but people are going to step on it and it's going to be very dangerous, you'll have to move it aside. Less than Dalai Lamas, but you'll have to move it. Why? So that you should make sure people shouldn't get hurt. And that even muktzmach haskufa, you're allowed to move. Money we'll get to soon. So money, for example, if you had money on the floor, and you have little kids, I remember when we were very young, we got money from somebody, and my sister was playing with the money, and she swallowed a coin. It was quite a big coin. It was like the size of a 2-pound coin. I remember my father turning her upside down. I know that at the time we didn't have a tzala in Vienna, and it didn't. She wasn't sure exactly how to get it out, but he turned upside down, and Baruch Hashem, it came out. Pardon, was that a good way to do it, Yossi? Is that the wrong way to do it? Probably the wrong way. Okay, we won't ask Yossi, but Yossi knows better than that. But
no change.
Pardon?
No change.
There was no change, no?
Yeah,
you're allowed to move the muktzah if it's dangerous for a child. If it's lying in a place where it's gonna damage a child, you can't just say, this is dangerous. I know it's in a safe and a secure place, I'll move it. But if it's dangerous for a child, yeah, pick it up, move it. So coins, if you're worried your kid's going to pick up coins and start putting them in their mouth, little children up to the age of 2 and 3, everything they find goes in their mouth. So you take it and put it in their mouth, chas v'shalom, they'll swallow it, you're going to have to call atzala, you're going to have who knows what, you just pick it up and you move it. If you don't have any young children in the house, so then you already don't have that heter. You say, oh, my 10-year-old's going to pick up that coin and going to swallow it. 10-year-olds don't pick up coins and swallow them. Then you don't have a heter, but if you have a 2-year-old around, yes, then you do have a heter. Okay? Then we have Muktzah Machnas Chisaron Kis, which we were speaking about before, which is any item that you would use exclusively only for the purpose that it has. And it's not even an expensive item, because we'll talk about this a bit later. So for example, a shechita knife or a mila knife. If you were to ask, any shochtim here? Nobody has shochet here, right? But if you were to ask a shochet, I've run out of knives and I just need to slice some onions. Do you mind if I use your shechita knife just to slice an onion? Oh, absolutely. Forget about the hygiene issue of it. Forget about the hygiene. You've sterilized it, it's clean, it's clear, you've burnt it off, it's mamish clean. Pardon?
Nothing's been tabled?
Okay, maybe. Not a big deal to table it. Moil is the same idea. Moil is a big question. Moil on Shabbos, what they do. Moil on Shabbos, because as soon as you know, at the moment, you still need to use it after you finish it. So some people, they'll keep it around their neck. Pardon?
You can hand it to another person directly and then move it wherever you want.
Right, okay, so different shayas, exactly how you do mila. Mila is a big machlokia. Some say it's not muktzah because I'm using it for the mila. Some say as soon as the mila is finished, you have to drop it. So some people, they carry the mila knife, they have it on a chain. They carry it around their neck, so then when they're finished, you just drop it, it comes down. Others, you drop it to the floor, and then you use your foot to kick it aside. Again, I would say if it's a mila knife, most mila knives are little scalpels, they're very, very dangerous. Chances are you could pick it up. If there's little kids in the room, you could probably pick it up because it's very dangerous and the kids are going to get to it. Coming back to that, so muktzah machlokia, some kids will have to do that as well. But any muktzah, anything like that, an item that is used specifically only for one use, and it is something that people are very machmed on to use only for that, like the shechita knife, like the mila knife, so then the halacha is that's muktzah machlokes chisaron kis, and again, you cannot move that neither tzarech kufay nor tzarech mikoymoy, and it's similar halachas to muktzah machlokes kufay. The last one is bosses. We'll come to bosses soon. So let's get slowly, let's go through what we were saying before slowly. Money is muktzah machmas kufay. That's the bottom line. Money is not a keli, even though money is used to trade, and a very, very important thing, although we're slowly moving towards, they say they're slowly moving towards a cashless society. I don't believe that in Haimisha circles, but everywhere else they're slowly moving to a cashless society. So if there's a, at the moment, money, it's not a keli. It's a piece of metal. It's just I and you and everybody else in this country have decided that if you give me this piece of metal that has certain drawings on it, I'm willing to hand over to you something that I will consider of a value of up to a pound, 2 pounds, whatever it is, 50p. If I give you a nicely colored piece of paper that has a picture of the queen on it and has a number 5 on it, then you will give me, you'll be willing to give me something up to what you consider the value of 5 pounds, 10, 20, 50. It's not a keli. So money is muktzah machmas kufay. So the first question that we would say, why don't I just pick it up and move it, let's say, kufa mekoyma, the answer is, money is muktzah, and therefore it's muktzah machmas kufay, and will not be allowed to move, let's say, mekoyma. So now you might say, okay, but I'm not touching the money. I'm touching the pushka. And the pushka holds the money. And now we know there is a concept called Tiltal Yidei Davacher. So sometimes if you have something muktzah on something else, and you pick up the item that's below, take it somewhere else, tip it off, and then take your item back. In this instance, we'd say the pushka is a bosses of Dava Asa, which is where we got up to. The bosses means it's a base for the muktzah. The halacha is anything that is a base for the muktzah gets the same status as the actual muktzah if it was on there and in Bein HaShemasha. So for example, if you lit candles, you lit your Shabbos Neiros, the halacha is a candlestick is a kli shmelach leser because it's used to light candles. However, if on Erev Shabbos I lit a fire on my candlestick, the fire is muktzah machmas kufay. And the fire makes the candle muktzah, because the candle is a basis for the fire. And the candle then makes the cup it's in muktzah, because the cup is a basis for the candle. And the cup will make the candlestick muktzah, because the candlestick becomes a basis for the cup, which holds the candle, which holds the fire. Okay? So now you have the bosses, and since come in Shabbat, at the time Shabbos came in, that candlestick was also muktzah machmas kufay, it remains muktzah machmas kufay the entire Shabbos. No, but so that's what I'm saying. But the candlestick, if there's no candle on it, is only kli shemanachta le'isur. So then you'd be, if you had candlesticks sitting on the table that had not had any light on it on Shabbos, you could move it. You can move it. You move it over. You want it somewhere else. But pardon. Chisson case has nothing to do with expenses. That's important. We're going to see soon that paper, we'll get to the discussion about paper, whether paper is or isn't chisson case. But chisson case, even though it's called chisson case, doesn't necessarily have to do with the monetary value of the actual item. So, you have now, so you want to go ahead and you want to say that the pushka, you should be allowed to move the pushka. So it's important to note as well. It has to be that this item that's holding the muktzah, its normal usage is to hold this muktzah. And I wanted it to hold this muktzah. Right? So if I left something lying around, something muktzah on top of something else, and I made a mistake, so then we go back to what I said before. That didn't really become a boss. Just pick it up, shake it off, move on. But my pushka, that's where I keep tzedakah money. I want to go around the shul and get money for tzedakah. I mean, this pushka was really, it was for shiva houses. It wasn't so much for the shul. That's what I had in my car, because I picked it up from a shiva house and I forgot to give it back to the shul. So it's been lying around in my car for the last week. And so it made its way into our house. And they wanted to go around the shiva house, wanted to collect tzedakah with it. And that is where the money's supposed to be. It's not that somehow by accident the money ended up in this pushka. That's where it belongs. So that's the bosses. That becomes a bosses of Dava Asa, the base of something Asa. It becomes Muktzah in the same way as the money becomes Muktzah. And therefore you'd be not allowed to go ahead and carry it. What about the table? Will the table become Asa now? So the table, it will depend. In this instance, I had no intention for the table really to be a base for my Muktzah for Shabbos. That was a mistake. I didn't really want it to lie there. If I had been clever enough, I've thought about it, I wouldn't have left it on the table. So therefore the table, if there's anything else on the table, as was mentioned before, so then the table remains a bosses of a mutter, or I didn't want it to be on the table. The table, once the muktzah is off, I would be allowed to move the table, because the table is not really a bosses for the snucker box, for the pushka. I didn't want it there, necessarily. Okay? Now you might tell me, Kovet Shabbos. Rabbi, Kovet Shabbos. The Teretz is, Kovet Shabbos is defined by halacha. That's a famous ma'aseh. I've told this, I think, once before. The ma'aseh with the Chazon Ish, that somebody once came to the Chazon Ish with a hat with a tremendous amount of mud on it. He says, what happened? He says, I was walking down the street and the wind blew off and it ended up in some kind of muddy puddle. He says, oh, that is, thus is Kovet Shabbos. The fact that that hat is dirty, that's Kovet Shabbos. Because you held yourself back from cleaning the hat on Shabbos, even though you said to yourself, come on, I can't walk around with a hat. So maybe you have another hat. It might be clever to walk around with another hat. But you have no other hat and you feel it's important to walk around with a hat on Shabbos. And you'd rather walk around with a hat that's very dirty on Shabbos and walk around without a hat on Shabbos. So then that's the Kovet Shabbos that you didn't clean the hat. Those are the Kovet Shabbos. Shabbos and the Kovet Shabbos is defined not by what is or what looks right to you, but rather what is or looks right in the eyes of halacha. So if you say Kovet Shabbos, and what Kovet Shabbos is going to be to sit and have a suda and have a pushka sitting next to you. As always, the halacha says you can't move, you can't move it. Okay? So now, we get to the point of tiltul begufoy. So therefore, okay, I couldn't have tiltul dava acher, can't carry through anything else, but I have another tzad that I had, which was tiltul begufoy, which means, if you don't pick it up with your hand and move it somewhere, you just nudge it, that will be mutter. Especially the Kovet Shabbos in this instance. So go ahead, walk over to your pushka, give it a nudge, it'll come flying off, and that's it. It's off your table. The problem was, it seemed very, very fragile. And I did not want to push it off, because I was worried it was going to break. So even though I had a het of tiltul begufoy, what am I going to do with it? So, here comes the next thing. There's a Gemara about this in the end of Shabbos. If you're stuck with kalim that are fragile, and you're outside of the city, so you put them on the animal, and then when you get inside the city, you unleash, or you untie the keli that's being held up by it, and it falls down. So Gemara says, what about if you have things that are very fragile? So the Gemara says, what do? You put a pillow underneath. Ask the Gemara, and this is important to keep in mind also, what about Mevatel Kli Meichonoi? Which means, the halacha is, if something was usable on Shabbos, I cannot create a matzav where I cannot use it now on Shabbos. So let's say, if I have a pillow. A pillow was a useful item. I could lie down, I could sleep on it, somebody else could sleep on it, be very comfortable. Instead, now what I've done is I've let the muktzah drop onto the pillow. And then once the muktzah is on the pillow, the mekilo can't be used because now it's muktzah. It's a bosses for there for the muktzah. So the halacha is, yes, you're right. If I will leave it there, then you have a problem of vata kli meichono. However, what I can also do is I can take the pillow, raise the pillow. By raising the pillow, the pushka is going to fall to the ground. It's now not falling off the table. It's falling a mere 2-3 centimeters, 5 centimeters from the pillow onto the ground. That fragile, already it's not. So therefore, what you end up with is the following. What you should do, or what you can do, is if you're not worried it's going to break, so then just knock it off. If you're worried either the item's going to break, or, you know, sometimes you have very delicate laminate. So you're going to push it off, the item will be fine, but you're going to make a big dent in your laminate. You're not going to be happy, your wife's definitely not going to be happy. Yeah? You don't want that either. So what do? You put down the pillow, bonk it off onto the pillow, pick up the pillow, let it fall to the ground, then you can use your leg to move it over to the side, put it away, and this way you can get rid of your muktzah pushka that's been sitting on your table. Pardon? Yeah, once you take, yeah, you can take the pillow, pick up the pillow, it comes off, and then...
Move the pillow to another room.
Yeah, pardon?
Take the pillow to another room and knock it off there, it's got to go off.
So, yeah, I think you might be able to do that also. Because, again, you pick it up somewhere where it's more convenient and move it there as well. Yeah, you might be able to do that. You might be able to do that as well. Now, I'm sorry? You might have been able to lift the tablecloth also. Yeah, the tablecloth you might have been, because I don't think the tablecloth became a boss of double also. So if you want to do, you pull up the tablecloth together, the whole thing, move it somewhere else, and pour it off over there, and pull it off over there. Similar to what we said over here with the pillow. Yeah? Okay? Now, The other item that we left on the table was we had bought a pad for the kids to draw on the way to London. You know, you have to keep them busy for 3, 4, 5 hours in the back of the car. You have to come up with all sorts of ideas. So one of the ideas was a pad, and the kids had a pad, and they were able to make pictures, etc., etc. So the pad was also sitting on the table. Again, you don't really want a big pad of paper sitting on the table on Shabbos. It's not really Shabbistic. There already, you could bonk it off. But the question is, what's the halacha, what's the status of paper? So I just want to go into this, and with that we'll finish. Paper, if you look at halacha, Mishabur still says, paper is muktzah machmas chisarnkis. Piece of paper, you use it only to write on it. I'm sure, you know, you take paper, you scrunch it up, you throw it around, you do whatever you want with paper. Paper was an item that was used only for this. The question is, nowadays, anybody who has an office knows you buy reams of paper. 500 pieces of paper in one. And if you buy them cheap, you can probably spend £2.50 on a ream of 500 pieces of paper. Okay? Might not be good quality, whatever, that's a different discussion. But forgetting about that. But you're buying it, say, one sheet of paper is half a penny. It's garnish, it's negligible. And anybody who's ever taught in school knows kids mamish have no cover for paper whatsoever. One piece of paper, another piece of paper. It comes out of the notebook, they scrunch it up, they make balls to throw at each other, make airplanes, they rip it to shreds, just take another piece. And even for us, we've lost the entire concept of value of shavius of paper. So that maybe in the time of Chazal, and even going through the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century, a piece of paper was a good item. A piece of paper was it was something. It was a chefza. You wouldn't take a piece of paper, just waste it. Who wastes paper? Yeah? Nowadays, sadly, we're at the stage where people waste paper constantly. Constantly. Again, people are trying very much to get into a paper. People try to have paperless offices now because it's cheaper and because it's more efficient and because it's also better for the environment not to have to print every single email that you get, and you can have emails on your computer without printing them, and a lot of these orders and everything. A lot of the things is very good to have that way. You know, even nowadays you get bills. People scan them in, and then they put the paper in the recycling. Instead of keeping all these bills in these big folders, you're taking up tons and tons of space in your office. The same thing, you'll have it on a file, and you file it away in your computer and finish, and the paper can go into recycling. But paper is cheap now. Nobody looks at paper as something that's important. And you would use it for a million and one things. So Reb Moshe says, paper nowadays is not muktzah machmas chisaron kis anymore. It's lost its value of this chisaron kis. It used to be something that people were very, very careful with, but nowadays people aren't careful with paper anymore. And therefore, because they take it, throw it, chuck it, do whatever they want to it, it's not muktzah machmas chisaron kis. However, says Reb Moshe, that is only true about what? A single piece of paper. A single piece of paper, regular paper, 80 gram a square meter paper, A4 that you have, dime a dozen. You know, it's just nothing. If you have more expensive paper, like a notebook, right? Now, I might throw out one piece of paper, but I'm not going to take a notebook already. You go into shops, you can find some notebooks that are 5-6 pounds also. And those you're not going to waste. You're going to take a notebook that's 6 pounds and start ripping it to shreds. That's stupid. Single piece of paper, maybe, but not a notebook. This was a very nice, or he gives another example, wallpaper. Wallpaper is not the kind of paper that you'd waste. I don't know what wallpaper can or cannot cost, but people who are in the trade will say that if you get mamish hand-painted wallpaper, you'd be looking at a roll that could cost you, you know, hundreds of pounds for a roll of wallpaper. That's definitely a chisaron kis. And even if it's a 10-pound roll of wallpaper, but you're not going to take wallpaper and waste it. Unless the only time you waste wallpaper is if you've done the whole room and you're left with another 3 meters, you give it to the kids. Okay, kids, make a mess on the wallpaper if you want to. But if you had wallpaper that you're planning on using, nobody takes wallpaper and messes it. Because it's too expensive. You use it to put on walls, not to make mishigasim with it. Regular paper is paper. So therefore, anything which is a more expensive type of paper... then you would not be allowed to move, and then it becomes again muktzah machmas chisaron kis. In this instance, we had a drawing pad. It was very good quality paper. And the other issue with the drawing pad was, if you have a few drawings in your pad, so now the pad already has a mutter usage also, because you can look at your drawings. Then you can move it around. But the kids had ripped down all the drawings, and all that was left was just white paper. It was a pad of white drawing paper. So there already we'd say, no, this is back to muktzah chisaron kis. You go back to that because it's a nice pad. It's not paper you would waste. And therefore, it will be also tzarchuf mekayim. But again, here you wouldn't have the issue because paper doesn't break and it's not going to make a big dent on your floor either. Take it, tilt the megufa, you take it, chuck it off, or pick up the whole tablecloth and pour it off somewhere else. And this way you can get rid of this. Okay? The ma'isa... I came home on Shabbos morning to see what my kids... I'd looked at it in shul and came home to try to tell my wife what to do. My kids had moved it already. So the whole thing ended up not being lemaisa. But, you know, at least I got a shear out of it. Okay, anybody saying Kaddish? Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Rabbi Zekosh, Mocha, Zaki, Soil, Leficha, Chivla, and Tremitz, Shinema, Adinoi, Chofetz, Eman, Zikoi, Yagvil, Teirah, Viyadir. Homemade.